Welcome to another sermon podcast from Central Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia. This episode will feature a sermon delivered by the Reverend Kate Culver. The sermon is based on scripture from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11, and 39 through 40, and Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Central Sunday morning service for the 23rd of February, 2025, the seventh Sunday after Epiphany, was streamed to our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. A complete video or sermon audio replay of this service may be found on cpcatlanta.org. Select the upper right menu, and then Sermons under Worship.
Our second text for today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. Listen now for the word of God, for you and for me. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have do to you. If you love those who love you, well, what credit is to you? For even sinners love those who love him. And if you do good for those who do good to you, then what credit is it to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you are expected to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as God is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, this morning I want to share a story about my Thursday morning yoga class. I'm a yoga person. I don't know if you know that, but it has been a vital part of my physical and spiritual life over the years. I've even completed the 200-hour yoga teacher training class, which is a lot of yoga. So look for a class at the Altar Retreat on that one. Yoga is a practice and a ritual that has sustained me through some very, very challenging times and has taught me many things. My journey began in seminary. You know, seminary has this way of ripping you open. And I know a lot of people in this room can relate to that. And I found myself in a difficult place. I found it hard to put myself back together with all that I was getting ripped apart from. And it was hard in traditional church spaces because all of a sudden, my worshiping community became my place of work. It felt far too vulnerable to truly work through some of the things that came up in my first year in seminary. However, I stumbled into an unexpected community on a whim, decided to take a yoga class, and it stuck with me. And before I knew it, I was going 3 times a week, and I found it was a place where I could heal and grieve and cry and simply be with God. I was fortunate enough to learn from 2 remarkable teachers who embraced a multi-faith perspective. Their guidance was formative and left a lasting mark on my life and faith. Now, unfortunately, the beloved ashram that I was practicing, it had closed its doors. And for me, it was a profound loss. I had spent years becoming part of that tight-knit community, one that held me through discerning my call to ministry, my ordination process, the news of my son's disability and the aftermath, COVID, finding this call to Central, and many other ups and downs and illnesses and celebrations, so it was hard to lose it, and I still miss it. And yet, in life's unfolding and some very special people, I was led to another community. And it's a welcoming space with cool people, and I dipped my toe in and then slowly became a regular in this Thursday morning yoga class. Now, Thursday holds a very special place in my week. It's not just a time for practicing yoga, it's also my writing day. And I work from home, and I prepare for worship, and I answer emails. So I settle down, and I catch up, and after practice, I would get to work, and it sets me up for my most productive day. However, this past Thursday, something unexpected happened. The person who leads the class announced that it would be her final class. And in that moment, I just felt awful. It was unsettling how awful I felt. I was like, well, what the heck? And now, I admit, I am not great with change. I have become more flexible over the years. Thank you, yoga. In that moment, I received a reminder of how tightly I had become attached to one way of being, attached to my rhythm, attached to the safety of what I know, and perhaps it was some lingering grief from my previous community, that loss, or maybe it was simply just my natural resistance to change. Whatever the reason, the announcement stirred in me the realization that I had clung to the familiar as a source of comfort and stability. So now what does that have to do with the text today? Well, I am keenly aware that my Thursday morning revelation had less to do with my yoga practice and more about everything else that's going on. Because there is a lot going on. The world seems to have gone crazy between the losses we've suffered in this beloved community, and the fear that comes with the climate right now, and general anxiety about the future. And I was struck by the text we read today and how it works well with the teachings that I've encountered on my yoga mat. We find ourselves in Luke 6, which is the section immediately following what Shannon preached last week, the Sermon on the Plain. And so Jesus is eye to eye with his followers, and he lays down some hard truths. He challenges us to love our enemies, to give freely without expectation, and to release the grip of our own self-interest. And when we pair that with ancient yogic teachings, we're reminded that attachment, our clinging to what we want, be it comfort or routine or personal gain, is the root of suffering. In this, we find a simple yet powerful truth. There is a difference between getting what we want and getting what we truly need. Y'all know that song, right? The world might offer momentary satisfaction, but real liberation comes from when we learn to let go. And sometimes it's hard to imagine letting go, to reconfigure parts of our lives and our relationships, especially if they've become a place of safety in this increasingly difficult and troubling world of ours. And yet, it's in these moments of loss and change when we are invited to embrace a deeper freedom, a freedom that is born of generosity and forgiveness, and an unwavering trust in God's boundless love. You see, when we let go of our attachments, we open ourselves to new ways of being. Remember that while the gospel calls us to love our enemies and extend ourselves without expectation, it also calls us to grow and to adapt and to find our strength and vulnerability, even though it's difficult to love in the face of loss. Each ending offers a chance to rediscover who we really are as children of God. Freedom to transform a hostile world through compassion and grace. Sounds like a lot of work. But it's not a gentle suggestion or an abstract concept. It's a direct confrontation of our own human instincts for self-interest and retaliation I mean, we don't need to look further than Atlanta traffic for that, do we? Jesus isn't just offering a new set of ethical guidelines. He's inviting us into a transformative way of being, one that mirrors the boundless mercy of God's love. Jesus' invitation resonates with yogic and Buddhist afflictions of the mind, which describe mental obstacles that cause suffering within us, and they include ignorance and egoism, attachment, aversion, and fear of death. And these afflictions not only keep us bound to suffering, they actually prevent us from spiritual liberation. We cling so tightly to what we believe will bring us pleasure or comfort or personal gain. And when we cling so tightly to these things, we trap ourselves in a cycle of craving and disappointment. We mistake what we really want for what we really need. And there's this crude but important distinction here, because sure, the world may promise fulfillment through satisfying our desires, but what we really need is the freedom that comes with letting them go. Jesus' command to give to everyone who asks and lend without expecting anything in return is a challenge to loosen our grip on our attachments to things like fairness or retribution or self-protection. And in doing so, we step away from the temporary rewards of personal desires and good feelings, and we'll move into a more radical freedom that's found in embracing abundant and unconditional love. And this love is not based on human expectations, but it's rooted in the reality that we are children of God who are loved beyond measure and who are called to reflect that same love into the world. Jesus' teachings point us to a new vision, to love one's enemies, giving without expectation, and to bless those who harm us. In other words, engage in acts of surrender. Because these acts of surrender break the chains of ego and allow divine love to flow through us. Friends, the gospel is undeniably hard to follow, especially in times like these. Someone once said, following Jesus is not for the faint of heart. And boy, is that true. Because who wants to love their enemy? Who wants to dive in with love and forgiveness when our instinct is to protect ourselves and seek revenge? And this is where the challenge lies, isn't it? The tension between our human conditioned responses and a higher calling of unconditional love. Staying grounded in the truth of our identity as children of God means regularly reminding ourselves that our worth is not measured by what we accumulate or defend, but by the grace that flows from God. It's always grace, and grace alone. When we approach the world from this place of deep-rooted abundance, we discover that love, even love for our enemies, does not make us a pushover. It's not a weakness, but it's a profound source of strength. It's a countercultural practice, a practice of generosity and forgiveness, where we begin to embody the true transformative power of the gospel, generosity, forgiveness, and love. So we're invited to really look at what we've been holding on to and consider how releasing it is trapping us, and how we can move into a more authentic and compassionate way of being. But it's not an easy path. It's one that ultimately brings us closer to recognizing the fullness of divine love, and it empowers us to transform a hostile world. And friends, we do live in a hostile world, physically and socially, even spiritually. We are plagued with climate change, rising temperatures, extreme weather, wildfires, natural disasters, which make survival even more difficult, especially for the marginalized. There's resource scarcity, contaminated water, air pollution, deforestation. These threaten both our human health and biodiversity. We live in cities that are built for efficiency, not for care, not for community. We're isolated. There are food deserts, poor housing, lack of green space. We live with racism and inequality and systematic injustices. There's increasing political polarization. There's war. There's oppression, economic injustice, misinformation, manipulation, exploitation, consumerism, materialism, moral apathy. Do I need to go on? Yes. We live in a world of grief. And yet, despite all of this, there are also places of refuge, places where faith and activism and acts of love push back against hostility. And we're one of those places. Central is a place for you and for me and for everyone who comes in this door, for everyone online, for the whole world. Church, we are called to transform hearts and lives. I think Peter said that in Acts. So as we stand here on the threshold of transformation, let us remember our text today. Jesus does not offer kind words. He challenges us to radically transform our hearts by loving those who oppose us. His words call us to love that is both fearless and free. A love that releases us from the bonds of self-interest and resentment. And in our own lives, we will experience moments when change shakes us to our core, or we experience loss or grief or disappointment. But through it all, remember that Jesus teaches us that true freedom we seek isn't found in holding on, but letting go. So as we leave this space today, and step out into the world that is so often seems to be defined by division and pain, let us remember our call as followers of Jesus. Let your actions be a testament to love that transcends fear. Embrace the journey of letting go. It's scary, but it also is liberating to know that each act of selfless love becomes a mirror to the boundless mercy of God. May we all find strength in vulnerability and courage in grace. May we become a living beacon of the transformative power that Jesus so powerfully demonstrated. And so it is. Amen.
We are glad you joined us for this podcast from Central Presbyterian Church. Central is a welcoming congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA located in downtown Atlanta across from the state capitol. For more information about the life, work and ministries, please visit our website at cpcatlanta.org. We also invite you to join us for worship and Sunday school and experience this exciting and diverse body of believers who seek to be bearers of God's justice in the world. Thanks again for listening.